Let's pray. Our Father, we come before Thee now. We ask Thy blessing upon us as we look at the skill of studying the Word. Help us, Lord, to understand it. Help us have a desire to do it, that it might be beneficial both to us and to our Savior who has done so much for us. We trust Thee for blessing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what we're going to start tonight is called the Biographical Method of Bible Study. Biographical Method of Bible Study. I'm going to ask questions tonight from time to time, and the men and young men can certainly answer if you feel so inclined. My first question, then, as we're going to work on a biographical method of Bible study, what is a biography? Who knows what a biography is? Anyone want to tell? Yes, Mike.
Outline or information about a person and the life of that person.
Okay. Biographical method of Bible study, as you do, it's something about somebody's life. And in the Word of God, we don't really have a lot of what you might call biographies. Rather, what you have is the Lord gave us things about various people's lives that He wanted us to know. If you were to read somebody's biography, usually they tell the whole story of their life, omitting only those things they don't want anybody to know, of course. But that's what a biography is. So a biography is going to be about a person in the Bible. And you'll study the life of that person in the Bible as the Word of God reveals that person. Now, what I'm going to do is, this is a 10-step method. And I'm going to go quickly through the 10 steps. You don't have to try to copy them all down because we'll be going over them later, slowly, one by one. But I want to give you the 10 steps so that you just get a sense of what's going to take place, what a biographical method is all about. So I will list these for you, and you won't be able to write fast enough probably to get them all down. Step one is select the Bible person that you want to study. Step two is make a list of all the references about that person. Step three, write down the first impressions. Step four, make a chronological outline. Step five, get some insight into the person. Step six, identify some character qualities. Step seven, show how other Bible truths are illustrated in his life. Step eight, summarize the main lesson. Step nine, write out a personal application. And step 10, make your study transferable. Now, we're not going to go through all 10 tonight. We couldn't do that without getting very lengthy. What I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to give you a few hints on how to enter into this Bible study. And then we'll start to actually do part of the Bible study and maybe get through steps 3 and 4. Now, to do this study, you're going to select an individual in the Bible and see what the Bible says about his life. And in order to do this, you're going to need certain tools. Who could suggest what tools might be needed if you're going to do a Bible study on some individual who is mentioned in the Word of God? What books would you need? Yes. Right? What else? Concordance would probably pretty much do it, but there are others that you could use. The answer is whatever Keith was selling. and that just does happen to be the answer. Topical Bible, remember? You know, if you answered Nave's topical Bible, you're always, practically always right. Huh? And a Bible dictionary wouldn't hurt. So you find an individual listed. Now, here's some tips as you're going to do this. You want to start simple, say. You want to start simple when you do this. And, you know, don't dig in and say, well, I'm going to study Moses or somebody like that, you know. Take somebody that it won't take a month doing it every day to accomplish. Look for someone to begin with, who only has a small number of passages of Scripture about, that you can cover it and work on it and learn how to do it. The author suggests something that's very interesting in the way that he states it. He says, the secret of a good biographical study is to live with that person during the study. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? Live with that person during the study. You have selected some individual. He says, live with that individual. And to illustrate his point, he said, a friend of mine, he names him Wayne Watts, spent a lifetime studying Abraham. He has studied this biblical person so long that he has taken on many characteristics of Abraham. He's a great man of faith, as Abraham was. He says, live with that person. And that's a good part of the reason why you would do this kind of a study, as you select the character that you want to study, is to really get to know them so very, very well that some of their good parts might rub off on you. Now, one of the possible problems that you could have when you pick up your concordance or when you're studying is that sometimes people have the same names. And it's always possible that you could do a little overlap. You could have a characteristic of somebody and it wasn't the same exact person. For instance, you take the name John. How many men by the name of John do you think are mentioned in the Bible? And I know you don't know the answers to this, so just guess. You know, if you'd like to guess, it might be interesting. All right, go ahead.
Three.
All right, that's a good guess. It's not right, but it's a good guess. I don't expect any. If anybody gets these right, well, you ought to have a gold star for them. Let's take Judas, for instance. That's not somebody you would want to study to be like. But how many men do you think are named Judas in the Bible? Who would like to guess at that? Yes?
Two,
okay. Mike says two. Anybody say three? No, nobody will say three. All right, we got just two. Mary. How many?
Four.
Four. Hmm. Did you ever hear the name Nathan in the Bible? Nathan? Do you know anything about Nathan? Okay. How many men named Nathan do you think are in the Bible? Yeah, you.
Five.
He's guessing five. Anybody hear the name Zechariah in the Bible? Anybody know anything about a Zechariah in the Bible? Yes? Oh, okay. Any other Zechariah? Hmm? Any other? No? Nobody knows another Zechariah in the Bible? I thought there was a book. I thought there was a book named Zechariah. Okay, here we go. According to this author, see, I don't know, I can't say for sure that I know that these things are true, but according to this author, men named John, there are five. Men named James, there are five. Women named Mary, there are seven. Surprise you? Surprise me? I wouldn't have got any one of these right, I can guarantee you that. You know, if somebody were asking me to say how many there were, I would have gotten none of them right. Judas, eight. Of course, for a long time in history, people didn't name them Judas anymore. But at that time, there were a lot. Jonathan, David's friend, Jonathan, there were 15. Nathan, 20. Zechariah, 30. You see, so you can look somebody up in a concordance, and I don't know whether the concordance divides them all up into different ones. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I didn't look. But that's something you have to be careful of. And of course, another thing to be careful of, if you were going to do a study, for instance, of Peter, and you're looking these things up in your concordance or what have you, there are different names for Peter. Simon, Simeon, Cephas are all used for Peter. Now, another statement that is you might want to mark at least in your mind as you're doing this kind of a study is the author suggests, and I think it's a good suggestion, he says stay away from commentaries and other biographical studies of the man. And he makes this statement. I think it's a really good statement. If you're going to do a biographical study, he says, don't let a Bible commentator rob you of the job of personal discovery. That's real good. In other words, you discover it yourself. You can always read them later, or prejudice your views on that person, he continues on. So those are good tips. All right, now let's start our study. And the man that he selects in the book that we will go through and use as a study is Stephen. So the first thing you got to do is you're going to pick out somebody. You're going to pick out somebody, some man or some woman that you would like to study their life. He has selected Stephen, and so that's what we will do. We'll do a biographical study of the man Stephen. Now, as soon as you've made that, as soon as you've done that selected the person that you want to study, what do you do? Well, step two is you get the scripture references. So now you're going to your concordance, or you're going to Knave's Topical Bible or Bible Dictionary, and start to get all the references in the Bible where your person is mentioned. And I have them here for Stephen. It's Acts 6:3 through chapter 8, verse 2, Acts 11:19, and Acts 22 and verse 20. So those are the places that he's listed. And you'll notice he's starting out doing exactly what he has suggested to us, and that is taking, you know, some substance about a person, but not a person who is extensively mentioned, so that there is not a huge amount of reading and studying involved. Now, the scripture references, of course, when you get the scripture references, you read the scripture references. I want to read a little bit. I will not read all of the scripture references. Acts 6:3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and so forth. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased And the number of the disciples was multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they, stubborn men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him, and caught him, and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. And we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, 'Get thee out of the country and from thy kindred, and come into the land where I shall show thee.'" And now, just skip on toward the end of the chapter, verse 7. He ends his sermon by saying, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they had heard these things, they were cut in the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit,' and kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." All right, now we have read. We have selected, number one, step one, we have selected someone. Number two, we have read, and we're going to assume now we've read all the scriptures about this person. Then step three is, you're going to write down, simply, maybe in one short sentence or a long sentence, you will write down your first impressions and observations of this particular person. What would be your first impressions and observations of this man, Stephen? Well, you might say something like he was one of the early Christians that was selected to be what we call today deacons. He was a powerful preacher who was willing to die for the faith. So your first impressions might sound something like that. They may be whatever you determine that your first impressions are. Then the fourth step in this biographical method of Bible study is to outline his life. Or if it was a her, you'd outline her life, of course. Outline his life. Now, of course, when you do this, this is your outline. You make the outline as to what you think are important aspects of the person's life. And what you would do is, maybe we would say the best way to do it would be a chronological outline. Chronological outline? What's chronological mean? Who would like to tell me? Okay, Eric. Right, okay, so, you know, you'd go to chapter 6, and you'd pick up things that happened with Stephen in chapter 6, and then go on to the next things that happened, and then the next things, and whatever you thought were the highlights, that's what you would put in your outline. So your outline would look something like this. I don't know how many know how to do outlines, but outlines are done with numbers and letters. Large numbers, large letters, small numbers, small letters, Roman numerals, How many people here outline things and use numbers and letters and things? Raise your hand. Okay, a lot of people outline things. How many people use as their very first item a Roman numeral? How many use a regular numeral? How many use a letter? Okay. Whichever way you do it's all right. Is that right? Okay. I mean, when you do you accept things in outline form? Do people have to give you an outline things in your class in school?
Occasionally.
Okay. And do you care what kind of outline they have? Then a certain type of outline is required. What kind is that?
Roman numeral, capital letter, Arabic numeral, lowercase letter. And we don't want to go any further than that.
Okay. That's great. That's the way I do it. It is the way I do it, but I seldom get down to them little letters. You know. All right. This fella here has, he doesn't do it that way. So, you see, when I say, how am I going to teach this? You know, how am I going to teach this outline? It's hard to teach. If I had a pointer, you know, an overhead projector, it'd be easy to teach. But I don't have that, so I have to do something else. Here's what he gave. I'm going to give you this information because here's what he gave. And when you have information, then it's easy to duplicate it the next time, even if you're using a different person. So he starts with capital A. He's got chosen by the early church as a leader. This is in his outline of the man's life. Chosen by the early church as a leader is A. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of something underneath of this, but later. All right, let me give you the A, B, C, and D first. Capital A, B, C, and D. B is he had a wide ministry. That's B. C, he was persecuted. And D, his ministry had effect after he died. D, his ministry had effect after he died. All right, now, we'll go back to A. I might have given you these too fast, but I'll go over them again. We're getting toward the end here, so don't give up yet. You know, under A, he's got a couple things. Under A was chosen by the early church as a leader. He puts down why he was chosen. Number one, to help resolve a conflict. You remember that. It was because the widows weren't being taken care of. They needed somebody to take care of him. So the reason he was chosen to this position was to resolve a matter. And then number two, it's on the basis of certain godly characteristics. And so it tells how he was chosen, or what criteria he was chosen. Number two, on the basis of certain godly characteristics. One, to help resolve a conflict was Acts 6:5. And two is Acts 6:3, 5, and 8. And so, you know, see, then you can look at it and see, well, you know, there were certain things about Stephen, and that's why a great multitude of people thought he was a good man for the job. Outline his life. B is he had a wide ministry. Number one, he was selected originally to wait on tables. That's Acts 6:2. And Acts 6:5. So he had to serve. He was to serve the widows. But he was not limited to that. So we have under B, number 2, he performed miracles. That's Acts 6:8. And number 3, preached and taught powerfully. Acts 6:10. That's what it says. That's before you actually get to the sermon itself that's recorded in the Word of God. They were not able to resist his wisdom and spirit by which he spake. All right, so there's two different aspects about his life. He's chosen, and then he had a wide ministry. C is he's persecuted. He was persecuted. Number one under C was opposed by Jews from other countries. Acts 6:9. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which are called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, them of Cilicia, of Asia, disputing with Stephen. So there are various Jews in the area from other countries, and he was opposed by them. Then we see number 2, he was falsely accused. Verse 11, then they stubborn men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses. So you see in this person's life, he was falsely accused. Number 3, he was arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin. And then they list a number of things about that. I'm not going to give those at this point, but you could go through these verses to see that. And then he had an effect after his death. And this is interesting. You know, why would that be an interesting fact to put down? That really says something about a person when people are still affected after the person dies. And just look at the verses that state that. Go to Acts chapter 8, verse 2 to 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 2 to 4. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So it's tied in. It says, therefore, Stephen died for the faith, and they were scattered. Therefore, they all went out and preached the word. They didn't stop preaching the word. They were affected. And you can see that in chapter 11, verse 19. Chapter 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So this death of Stephen was kind of remembered, and it was mentioned again that the persecution arose there, and others were going out, and they continued to preach through the persecution. As they had seen Stephen preach during persecution, they too preached during persecution. All right, we will stop there. We have covered 4 steps in the person, the scripture references, the first impression, and then the outline of his and her life. And that outline is going to be important because you're going to pick up from that outline more information and more insights in the next time. All right, let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we come before Thee. Help us, Lord, to put these things into practice in our life so that they may be a benefit and a blessing. We pray and we trust Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.